Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What a celebration. Looking forward to the food. And do you know, I have to say this, I don't know what's on the menu. I know that it's there, and I know I could have asked Jan if I wanted to know, but I didn't want to know. I just wanted there to be food. It wasn't up to me to decide the menu, so I thought, that's great. I'll just go see what food there is, and we'll enjoy it, whatever it is. I'm sure it's good. Anybody hungry? Yeah? Blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty. Blessed are those who are hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Hungering and thirsting for righteousness is something that has plagued humanity since its creation, their creation in the garden, and since the fall. Mankind has been hungering and thirsting for righteousness, for things to be set right. And it's been our entire history. We nowadays hunger and thirst for righteousness, for those things that God has created to be made right and to be set right and to work right and to do the things that they're supposed to do. And as my one professor described to us, as righteousness is that which is perfectly performing its prescribed purpose. He liked alliteration. And I think that alliteration perfectly performed its prescribed purpose at describing righteousness, that which does what it was supposed to do. And since the fall, nothing in heaven and earth, well, in heaven, but on earth, has functioned correctly. We've sort of made it through limping through history. We can see that. Just look over humanity's history and you'll see a group of people, wherever you may find people, limping along, trying to do what's right, trying to find the right path, trying to do the right thing, and always messing up. Never quite getting it. They may get close, but they're never quite there. And even today, after 102 years of praising God in worship here, we're almost there. We're just a little bit shy of perfection. And some of us turn our mics off when we sing because we're really shy of perfection, so. But we hunger and we thirst for that righteousness. And as we're seeking righteousness, as we're trying to do what's right, sometimes we get it confused that righteousness means being right. And so then we strive to be right. The Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, the Lutheran Church has always strived to be right. And I'm not talking politics aside, I'm talking about being right in our doctrine. That was the most important thing. We had to be right. And I would say, we're really close, but we're still shy. And yet, here we go throughout history trying to be right. Rather than trying to be righteous, we try to be right. And we get those confused. It's not about being right. It's about seeking God and hearing from Christ in His Word. That's what it's about. But we still hunger. We still thirst for righteousness. And sometimes let's look over the history of the church. So many times, striving for righteousness has led down a path that was far from righteous. Striving to be righteous and striving to be right has driven the church to do all sorts of things that the church shouldn't do, to be involved in things the church shouldn't be involved in, and yet there we are in the midst of the mess, looking just like the world looks, fighting with one another, fighting with those outside the church, fighting against everything, and then we fall short once again. See, even in our seeking for righteousness, we don't know how to do that right. We've struggled all our human existence, for righteousness. And Jesus sits on the mountainside with his disciples and the crowd and says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Because if you weren't hungry, if you weren't thirsty for righteousness, well then, what are you? If you weren't seeking righteousness, if you weren't seeking God in his perfectness, in his purity, what are you? Lost, wandering, starving even. Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because they'll be satisfied. You know that feeling after a good meal? You unbutton that top button, sort of a Thanksgiving kind of thing. Maybe get a little sleepy. Satisfied. We have to be careful, though. Some of us seek satisfaction and we go a little overboard, right? We go past satisfaction to, oh my goodness, way too much. And there we are once again in our seeking for righteousness. Sometimes we go way overboard. And it's too much. It's too much trying to be right. It's too much trying to be perfect. It's too much trying to do these things. And less looking at Jesus, and I've said this over the last couple of weeks, a lot of times in our seeking for righteousness, we tell Jesus to take a vacation because we got this. We'll figure this out on our own. We don't really need, thank you for what you did, but we'll take care of this righteousness ourselves. Because we're going to seek to be satisfied in our own righteousness. And we go overboard. We go overboard and we fill up ourselves with all sorts of other stuff. It was funny talking with Linda before the service as she was practicing the piano. Now, don't take offense. I gave her permission. She needed something to put her feet on. So she used a hymnal. Be careful. We don't want to worry about being too right, because the hymnal's a book, right? It's a book, and it's a wonderful book. It has wonderful things in it, but it's a book. Sometimes we go a little overboard, and we put that book up on a shelf that's really shiny. If you look around the building today, and I hope you do, I hope you take the time to look through the whole entire building. You'll see all sorts of tributes, all sorts of pictures, all sorts of things that through the years we here at Grace have had the opportunity to share with one another. Now there's a caution here, because a lot of times what we can do is we can look at that and all of the pastors in the rogues gallery of pastors and say, wow, these amazing people, and we put them up and we keep putting them up and putting things up, and suddenly we've lost sight of what seeking righteousness looks like. And we think we've made it. Because, wow, we lasted 102 years. That's a good long time. I think we can now take a back seat and just coast. We can coast. But I'll tell you, if you look around the neighborhood over the 100 years, well, the 60 years that we've been in this location, if you look around the neighborhood, it has changed. And there are people all around this building. You could reach out and touch them, that they are seeking righteousness, but they don't know what it is. They don't know who it is. They just know that they're hungry and they're thirsty for something. And they're seeking it all over the place. They're seeking it in all of the things that college students do to fill themselves up. They're seeking it in other ways and in other philosophies and other things that are drawing them further and further away. They are hungry and thirsty. And we here at Grace for 60 years in this location have had the opportunity to share what and who can satisfy. I don't think we can take a back seat now. I don't think we can coast, because there are way too many people out there who hunger and thirst And we know who it is that satisfies. As Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Well, who is it that satisfies? The Sunday school answer is... That's right. That was awfully quiet. They're not going to hear you unless you're a little louder. And I know public speakers do this all the time. Let's repeat it again. But seriously, who is it that satisfies our hunger and thirst for righteousness but
Jesus?
That's right. He's the only one. He's the only one who can. Everything else leaves you starving. Sometimes makes you feel bloated and all of the other things that go with it, indigestion from consuming things that won't lead to righteousness and won't satisfy hunger. And it's Jesus alone who does it. And we hear it throughout the Gospels. We hear it especially in the Gospel of John when he says, I am the bread of life. I'm the one who satisfies my flesh, the flesh that I give for the life of the world, the bread of life. He's the one that satisfies. Nothing else fills us up. Nothing else satisfies that hunger but the bread of life himself. Nothing else satisfies the thirst like the rivers of living water that flow from Jesus. John chapter 4, when he's talking with the woman at the well and he says, I can give you this water of life that will never run dry and you will never thirst anymore. And it comes from Jesus. That's the only place. He's the only one who can give his life as the bread of life, who can give his blood for the water of life. That's Jesus. That's what it's all about. That's why grace has been here for 102 years. It's because of Jesus. It's because there's a message of Christ as the satisfier of the hunger and thirst that no one else can do, that we have, that they need. That's why we're here. And it's in Christ that hunger and thirst for righteousness is satisfied. And yet, here we are, day to day, still hungry, still thirsty, because we got a little ways to go yet. In that reading from Revelation, the beauty of the reading from Revelation, open it up in your bulletins. And you can open up to the, not the front page of Revelation, but that second page, verse 16. Here it is. The man talking with John says, these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. These are the ones that have been hungering and thirsting for righteousness their entire lives, who have tried everything and have turned to Jesus in the washing their robes in the blood of the Lamb, and now they shall hunger no more, neither thirst anymore. Do you hear that? That's the hunger and thirst for righteousness that is finally and completely satisfied. Until then, it won't be finally and completely satisfied. Until then, when Jesus calls us all back to life with our bodies in that glorious resurrection with all of the saints that have gone before, then that hunger and thirst will be completely satisfied. No more hunger, no more thirst. That doesn't mean we're not going to eat and drink. It just means that striving for righteousness will be complete because we will see Jesus as he is, face to face, pure as he is pure. How blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You will be satisfied. How blessed are all of those who have been part of grace for 102 years, hungering and thirsting together, striving for righteousness, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, for that satisfaction that only comes through him. And here today as we gather, not only are we going to share a great meal, but we share a foretaste of the feast to come in the supper, the bread and the wine, the body and blood of Christ, the bread of life, shared with each other today as Christ gives himself to us to satisfy that hunger and thirst, to give us a glimpse of what that satisfaction will look like when it's all done, when there is no more hunger, there is no more thirst. I pray that day comes sooner than later, but until that day comes, let us share the gospel of Christ with those who are hungry, with those who are thirsty, with one another. Each day, amen. Now may the peace that is ours in Christ guard our hearts and minds always in the one true faith to life everlasting. Amen. And I love celebration.